This is an ABC podcast.
It was a stinking hot summer night. I was watching tennis on telly when an Aussie player stopped me in my tracks. It was the Australian Open, a Grand Slam, and 22-year-old Casey Dellacqua was nailing it on court. Her mum was in the crowd, her nan was in the crowd. And while on the other courts, stars like the Williams sisters were shimmying around in big brand sponsored labels. In her post-match interview, Casey told Australia she was wearing a singlet from Target.
I still love a bargain.
I loved her so much in that moment. She was the huge-hearted, down-to-earth Aussie player we adored. And then she gave it all away. I'm Terry Siarkis. I've got two kids, and the last thing I gave away was a massive bag of Shopkins to the Salvos. And when they find out about it, my kids are going to kill me. And this is Parental Guidance Recommended, the podcast where I track down Australians who are known for great things and ask them, but what are you like as a parent? Welcome, Casey Dellacqua.
Hi there.
I ask all our guests, Casey, to bring a little bit of audio from home. Here's yours.
Hey, what does Mummy do for work?
Tennis.
Did you used to like coming on the road and seeing Mum play tennis?
Yeah.
We went on lots of planes, didn't we?
Yeah.
What was the most favourite place you went to?
England.
England? That was my favourite place too.
Because there was lots of birds there.
There was lots of birds, I know. Lots of colourful ones.
Look.
What are you playing with?
It's a squid.
Squid? What's your squid doing?
He's going inside here, so he can go in a hole. Then we need to put the other tentacles in.
Do you think Mummy used to hold a lot of trophies up?
Yeah.
Why do you think Mummy got so good at tennis?
Because of practice.
That's right, because practice makes perfect, doesn't it?
Oh, I know. What about if we pretend there's fish in here, then his head can stick out.
Whose little voice are we listening to there, Casey?
Oh, that's my beautiful 5-year-old son. His name's Blake.
He sounds gorgeous. He sounds like a big fan of squid, just quietly.
Yeah, it's sea animals are actually his thing. You know how kids always have their thing that they just embrace and they kind of get a bit obsessed with? Well, sea animals is his thing, so he's for his birthday, he just turned 5 recently, we took him to the Sydney Sea Life Aquarium for the first time, and obviously he was allowed to buy a few little gifts when we left. So he bought this toy squid, which he slept with, and it's become his best friend.
Oh, that is so cute. I like how you're trying to get a feel for, you know, how he feels about your tennis career. And then he's like, yeah, let's get back to my squid.
Yeah, I know.
Now, he's not your only child, is he?
No, we have my partner and I, Amanda, we have a 2-year-old daughter as well, and her name is Andy.
Beautiful kids. I'm really interested to ask you, Casey, you spent your whole life working towards something that you'd wanted to do since you were little. You got really bloody good at it, and then you gave it all up to be with your kids. How did you come to that decision?
Yeah, it's been an interesting 6 months because I am just recently retired, so it's been a different transition. I think for me, I felt like it was just the right time as a parent, and you know, when you have kids, they become your priority. And for so long, my tennis was my priority. Being the best I could be as an athlete was my priority. And I just felt like it was time to put my energy into my relationship and to my kids and to my parenting, which I've always valued throughout my whole life. I've always wanted to be a mum. So, yeah, I've had a great career. It's one of those things that I probably could have played for 5 more years and continued to have great success. But at some point in your life, you've got to say goodbye to it, and I just felt like the time was right now. I had also had some tough injuries. I had a really nasty concussion that I struggled to deal with, but did come back after that. So there was a few factors, but mostly that, I was just felt like the right time to be a mum and to be at home with my kids while they're young, because they're only young once, as you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the dynamics now of your parenting with Amanda have flipped, as you say. Like, you're the one who's at home with them now, and she's at work. When you're spending time with the other parents at the playground or after school, if they ask you what you did before your kids, what do you say? Do you let him have it? Do you like it? Well, you're like, well, let me tell you.
It's actually such a funny conversation that constantly always comes up. Obviously, when you're at parks, I've never spent a lot of time at parks with the kids because we've always kind of been travelling on the road, but it's kind of all I seem to do now is finding a new park to go to. So I have become one of those park mums, and one of the first things, is you're like, oh, are you back at work or what are you doing? And, I always just say, oh, I used to play a bit of tennis, and their first response is like, oh, I play tennis on at the park, on like socially down at the road on a Sunday. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of did that, but kind of played it at a different level too. But it's a very hard, I always say to people, it's a very hard job description to explain to someone and for them to understand. But I think they just go home and Google me and probably find out exactly what I do. And then the next time I see them, it's they're like, oh, my husband said he knew you and yeah. So it's always a funny conversation to have.
Are you ever tempted to help them out and get them to skip the middleman of the Googling and just like sit on the park bench surrounded by your trophies and just go, yep, used to play a bit of tennis?
Well, I always try and have tried to stay as humble as I can. So it's very hard for me to go and talk about at what level I played at, because I always feel like I'm just, you know, pumping myself up. So I feel like if I just give them a little bit, then they kind of might work it out. And if they don't, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And they might just know me as Blake or Andy's mum. But, yeah, it's a very hard, it is a difficult conversation to have for sure.
Are you worried that later on down the track when Blake and Andy are at school, you're going to get the tap on the shoulder to be the tennis coach?
I think so, yeah. All my neighbours around us that we live, they've already got me down to the local primary school to help with the hot shots or their after school because they say they live next door to me or it's happened a few times. But, yeah, oh, I would love to be involved with my kids' sport and, yeah.
How lucky they would be to have someone of your calibre helping them along too.
Yeah, well, I don't know if Blake would probably prefer someone else than his mum, maybe. I don't know.
You might prefer a squid, judging by what we, what we heard just before. Now, Casey, you mentioned before that when Blake was first born, you were still playing tennis competitively. You were still travelling, and I assume that there was a lot of travel that was involved because of your sport at that stage. Now, based on my own experience, travelling with babies is not my idea of a good time. How the hell did you and Amanda to do it?
It's one of those things that Amanda and I often sit back and look back, and we've got so many photos, and Amanda kept a little bit of a diary along the way, and I'm like, oh my gosh, how did we actually do that? But you just did it. I don't know, as a parent as well, you kind of just get on with it. And from the moment Blake was basically 12 weeks from onwards, he traveled with us, not every week, but a big chunk of the time that I was on the road, him and Amanda were with me. It was very difficult, but it was also very rewarding, and it made my tennis actually, become really good, and I was really successful during that time.
How did it influence your tennis? Because I'm hearing 12-week-old baby and travelling and flights, and I'm thinking about sleep deprivation and stress. And how did it actually improve your tennis?
I was just really happy. And the fact that I was happy, I think, translated onto the court. So I would play I was playing some of the best tennis that I had in my career. So I think it was as basic as that. It was the fact that win or loss, I would come home and my family would be there and Blake would be so happy to see me and Amanda as well, probably because I could take away from her mum duties. Yeah. It was just a sense of like I would go home and he never cared if I won or lost. He was so little, you know. He just wanted to be have a cuddle with me and play with me, and he was excited to see me. So I think that just made the losses easier because you kind of just got on with things, and the wins more rewarding because I had my family there. So, yeah, it was probably just as simple as that. For me, one of the most amazing experiences throughout being an athlete was to play on the biggest courts in front of big crowds. But then when you, you knuckle it all down and you just see like your family in your box, it really actually brings the best, well, it used to bring the best out of me as an athlete, because there was no way that I wanted to be out there, not making them proud or disappointing them. So, in regards to taking Blake to the tennis, the majority of the time he wouldn't come out on court and watch me play, purely because of, you know, tennis, you have to be so quiet when you're watching, and you, it's not really ideal for a little toddler. So there was one moment where I think Amanda thought, oh, if I just sit up the back, I can watch and he can just sit on my lap. But he was calling out, come on, mummy. And I was getting actually quite distracted in that moment. So from that kind of moment on, he hasn't really actually sat there live and watching me play, but he certainly watched me on telly a lot and he loves that. For me, it was always something that made me play better because, yeah, I felt like I was playing out for myself, but I also wanted to make them proud too.
That sounds really beautiful, but I want to know the ins and outs of it, like the logistics of travelling, doing such heavy travel and, you know, quite a few of long-haul flights too, I would imagine, with a 12-week-old. What was hard about that? What was your game plan? How did you get through that challenge and were there any disasters?
Yes, there were plenty of disasters and there was plenty of tough moments. It was a big learning curve for both of Amanda and I, but we just knew that if I wanted to continue playing, we needed to get into a good routine. And the routine that we set up at home, we kind of just took on the road with us. But in saying that, the travel, the flights were horrible. There was plenty of times where, like, I would be in the toilet cubicle on the plane, and Blake was just howling and screaming. He was overtired. I'd have him in the baby Bjorn as tight as I could to me to try and get him to calm down and get him to sleep. And I'd come out of the cubicle and I'd say to Amanda, oh, could you hear Blake crying? And she'd be like, no, but she's told me now, yes, of course you could hear him. He was like crying so loud. But I, plenty of moments like that. And you're just like, when is this plane going to land? And then you'd get to the other end of it, like in the middle of Europe. And then just the simple things of like getting some milk for his bottle when you're in the middle of Italy and they don't speak a lot of English and all you want is some nice warm milk for his bottle at night, or just those little things. Or, it just made it difficult.
Yeah.
But it's funny, as you go, you learn. And most of the countries I went to always had, I mean, everywhere you go, people have babies, so you could find different things that worked. And, like I said, it was tough, but we made it work.
Yeah. Look, poo and spew can freak out any first-time parent, let's be honest. Did you have any standouts while you were travelling?
No, not while we were travelling, to be honest, but we've had plenty at home.
Yeah.
And we've had one that comes into mind where Andy was just born and Blake was, you know, that typical sibling that was quite obsessed with his little sister and wanted to be involved in everything. And I was changing Andy's nappy one day. She projectile pooed all over me.
Oh.
But in like a matter of 5 seconds, Blake's gag reflex started and the poor thing was on the floor, spewing his guts up with the thought of that fact that his little sister could do that to his mum. So we've had moments like that, but touch wood, whilst we've travelled, we've been very lucky. Lots of spews and clothes changes, but the poo thing, thank goodness, not on planes, hasn't bothered us too much yet.
That is lucky. And can I say congratulations? We've spoken to lots of parents for this podcast and we ask the poo and spew question.
Yeah.
And you're the first parent who has given a story that has actually involved both at the same time. So that is brilliant. Well done.
Yes, that's right.
Casey, what's been your most embarrassing moment as a parent so far?
Oh, I think that would have to be, as they get older and they ask a lot of questions and they kind of have a mind of their own. So this was recently, I'd just picked Blake up from daycare and there was a grandfather that was walking in to pick up his grandchild and he had a larger belly and Blake said to him, are you having a baby? And I just died. I was like, oh, my goodness. And thank goodness this man was just so beautiful and had a laugh and it was so funny at the time, but I just died inside. And I couldn't believe that he'd even come out with that. Yeah, that was probably one of my most embarrassing moments more recently.
Yeah, nice one. You mentioned that kids ask a lot of questions, your kids and other kids ask a lot of questions. Have your kids asked questions about having two mums? Like, what sort of conversations have you and Amanda had with Blake and Andy? Have you had any?
Well, yeah, we have. Yes, it's one of those things that from day dot when we decided to have children that we were always going to be open and honest with our children and open and honest with their story and where they came from. So, yeah, with Blake, we're constantly talking to him about this special man in his life that helped bring him into the world. And Blake will always say, I'm the luckiest boy because I've got two mums. And, yeah, we just tell him his story, where he came from. And he's definitely at that stage and he knows this special man in his life and it's really important. And he also knows that he's got two mums that are raising him and are his parents and his kind of go-to people. So I think that's a good thing because he's very open to asking questions to us and we're happy to answer. And it's a really good, bond. But Andy, she's still a bit little, so she hasn't asked too many questions yet.
Yeah, right. What about other parents? Like when you're talking to other parents, do they make assumptions about your family unit or do they ask questions like you in those situations where, you know, someone makes a massive faux pas and, you know, asks you to give them just too much information? Do you have to deal with that from other parents very often?
Yeah, all the time. But you get pretty used to answering that questions and they'll be like, oh, what is your husband doing? I'll be like, oh, my partner's a female actually and we've been together for this long and we've got, you know, a couple of kids. And then once you say it, they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, it's okay. I'm okay with those conversations. And yeah, like I said, 100% of the time you have that conversation and then they're like, fine, and it's not really a topic of conversation anymore.
Yeah.
But we often talk to Blake, we do, about different families in the world. There's kids with, you know, single parent families and, you know, there's so many different families in this world now. So we just explain that to him and his situation and, yeah, he seems so far to be understanding it all and all good.
I think the great thing sometimes about those conversations when you have them with your kids, so mine are nearly 9 and 5, when you have those conversations with your kids, they're usually just so accepting. Like they just
are,
go,
aren't they?
Oh, cool, great.
Yeah,
and then they just
so
move
true.
On to the next thing. Like they don't dwell, they don't analyse, they just they just take things and they go, okay, so you love each other. Great,
yeah,
what's for lunch?
That's so true. And it's the adults that become more judgmental than kids themselves. It's not the kids, it's always the adults. But yeah, like you said, kids don't usually dwell on that stuff, do they?
No, it's good. Casey, what's been your proudest moment as a parent so far?
Oh, definitely having Blake on the road with me and having presentations he's come out to. And, you know, when Ash and I have won doubles tournaments, Ash is always like, bring Blake out. So I've got like so many photos of him holding trophies and it got, we actually had a really good year last year whilst I was still playing. And I think Blake just thought it was quite natural for mum to win trophies all the time. And he's actually a really competitive young, he started footy this year and he's got that real competitiveness in him where I'm the parent on the side of the sideline going, Blake, like if something doesn't go his way, he kind of cracks it a bit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so he thinks that because mum won trophies all the time, like he should as well. So
yeah, right.
He should be the best or he should be, he's got that kind of in him a bit. So, but yeah, no, I think those moments throughout my career, having my family on the road as a parent was definitely made me really proud.
Are you wary as a parent who was, you know, a highly successful professional sports person, are you wary of not putting the pressure on them to do well at sport or even to be interested? Like how would you feel if they turned around and said, nah, that's sport stuff, that's not cutting it for me? Would you be disappointed? Like how does that play out?
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation that I've had with a lot of my friends, but I would love him to see him play sport or just be active, not even competitive sport, but just be doing something obviously active, I think, like most parents these days. But I wouldn't be disappointed if he didn't play tennis, put it that way. I'd be quite happy for him to pick up another sport. This year was quite funny. I mean, he was yelling out on the sideline in the first game, Mom, I did a burp. And like there was nothing even about the football for the first half of the season.
What kind of parent are you, Casey? If you had to describe your parenting style, what would you tell us?
I'm pretty relaxed, to be honest. I'm pretty carefree. I like to be outside playing with them. And, yeah, so maybe like that. But then on the other hand, Amanda and I both are very big on discipline, and it's been something, I guess maybe that's been instilled in our upbringings a bit, but we're very big on discipline and, you know, little things like manners and treat people the way you want to be treated, all those little things. So, yeah, a bit of everything parent maybe. I don't know if that makes sense, yeah. But yeah.
You mentioned that that was sort of similar to the way that you were raised. Are there other parts of your upbringing that come through in things that you do now with Blake and Andy? Like, have you ever found yourself saying things that as they're coming out of your mouth, you go, oh, my God, my mother said that?
Yes, and I cringe every time.
What do you say that makes you cringe the most?
Oh, just the little things like, you know, when you give them your plate and they don't say it, and you're like, well, what do you say? My mum used to say that to me, what do you say? Or the old Santa trick. You worked a treat last year, the whole, I'm going to call Santa, I'm going to tell Santa.
Did you dial him up on your mobile and pretend to talk to him?
Yep. I downloaded the app. You can use an app these days where you can actually FaceTime Santa, like, and it worked amazing. So Blake, basically 3 months leading into Christmas, Blake was an angel. So, yeah, I remember my parents doing that to me. So that's nice.
Is there anything from your parenting life so far, Casey, that, you know, when you reflect, you'd do differently or take back?
You know what? That's an interesting question because so many people always ask me, oh, would you still have had kids while you're playing, you know, with Amanda and that? And it's, I think it's one of those things I always look back on and, you know, I wouldn't change a thing in that sense at all. It's hard to say, did we do, you know, the right thing, taking Blake on the road for that longer time and that. But, you know, kids are so resilient and so easygoing that he didn't care where he was. As long as he had his mum's with him and he had a clean nappy and a bottle and that, he was always a very happy little kid. And then obviously Andy came along and two always is a bit of a game changer just in terms of logistics.
Yes.
But, again, wouldn't change that. But, yeah, so no, nothing too much at this stage.
Do you miss tennis? Like, do you ever have days at home and, you know, every parent has them where you're covered in filth or you just had a really, you haven't got out of your pyjamas or you haven't crossed off anything on your list of things to do and you kind of, you know, half close your eyes and look back to when you're actually in control of your life and go, yeah, sometimes I long for those days. Do you have those days where you miss what you did before you became a full-time parent?
Yeah, there's plenty of times I'm like, oh, I would have been playing at Wimbledon about now. But I'm also pretty freshly retired. Maybe ask me in another year and I'd probably say I miss it. But at the moment I'm actually really happy and grateful to be home and to be spending this time with the kids. So
yeah, that makes sense. Casey, how has parenting changed you?
Oh, do you know what? It's as simple as the fact that it's just made me happier. I was always very happy with Amanda and our relationship, but once you, you know, have a child and you're raising those kids, yeah, as a parent, and I just feel obviously, yeah, just you get wake up every day a little bit more excited to do things with the kids, and obviously you have your bad days too, but majority of the time it's pretty cool, and yeah, I really enjoy that part of being a parent.
Yeah. Casey, I think you sound like a brilliant mum. You are acing it as a parent. See what I did there? But don't take don't take it from me. We asked someone close to you about you as a mum. This is your mum, Nita.
Oh. Hi, Case. It's your crazy mum here. I'm so proud of you, sweetheart. And to see you as a mummy melts my heart. What a gorgeous little family you have created. There are so many words to describe what a beautiful person you are. Kind, thoughtful, generous, and with your tennis career, courageous and inspirational. I'm so proud of you, sweetheart, and to see you so happy and how much you love being a mummy. And it's always so beautiful how Amanda tells me what a beautiful mum you are and how lucky they all are to have you in their life. Love you heaps, Casey Alalu. Bye, sweetheart.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Wow. Yeah, that's obviously brought me to tears. Yeah, there's something in life when you, throughout my whole life, you always want to make your parents proud. My mum tells me that quite regularly, to be honest. But, yeah, hearing it then obviously has brought up a few emotions because, yeah, I'm really I guess I'm really proud that she sees that. And she was such a great mum. And, yeah, I want the same for my kids too. So, yeah, that's really nice. Yeah.
Is your mum an important person in your kids' life? Because I know your nan was a huge influence on you. Is your mum nan of the year?
Yeah. So, my mum my kids call my mum Nonna, and unfortunately, obviously, she's in Perth and we're here in Sydney, so the logistics of that makes it a bit difficult, but my mum will always make time. She works full-time, but she will always make an effort to come over and spend as much time with the kids, and it's difficult for her because I grew up, yes, so close with my nan, who is still around. So I always speak to my nan these days still. And I grew up, so my mum craves that with her grandkids. And so the distance makes it a little bit difficult with my kids. Anytime my daughter, mum recently came to Fiji with us on a family holiday, and the kids just love her. And then now anytime Andy, I get a little bit angry at Andy and I'm like a bit upset with her, she just yells out, Nonna, Nonna, like she just wants her Nonna. So because she knows Nonna's going to pick her up and give her a cuddle straight away. But, yeah, she's a beautiful mum and a beautiful Nonna.
Well, she's obviously taught you well as well. Thank you so much, Casey, for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Isn't she gorgeous? I'm Terry Siarkis, and I hope you found a little bit of parental guidance in there, even if it is just that you can now FaceTime Santa. I am so doing that. If you like this show, share it with someone else that you think might love it, a fellow parent, someone in the trenches next to you. And if you'd like to hear more episodes as they land, hit subscribe in your podcast app. Too easy. On the next episode, what kind of dad makes a superhero for his son? This one. Clever man creator Ryan Griffin.
He gravitates to these heroes so much, but he doesn't have one of an Aboriginal person.
But even superheroes can't protect you from the big questions.
He just took a sip of his milkshake and asked, where do babies come from?
Yikes. That's next on Parental Guidance Recommended. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or hear it on the ABC Listen app.